Well, y'all breathe again. Nobody was moving. David, that was so good. Thank you. Our first speaker this morning, Pastor Roland Browning. Roland is no stranger to this congregation. He's preached here quite a number of times. He's one of my very favorites. But he's never preached here as the pastor. He's the pastor of the Grace Baptist Church of Dingus. And Roland, we're delighted that you're here. You come bring the message God's given to you.
Thank you, Brother Frank. It's been a blessing to be here over the years, and I pray it's a blessing again today to stand before you and tell you the things that Christ has done for his people. That's all we've got to tell you, is what Christ has done. It's not what he's going to do. It's not what he's tried to do, what he's done. He finished the work God gave him to do. Turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. We'll read two verses here, but I'm only going to deal with four words. The four words are good things to come. The good things to come. Look here in chapter 9, verse 11. We'll read verse 11 and 12. We'll only deal with these four words, as we said. But Christ, being come and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. I want to look at seven things, if time permits. Seven good things to come. Now, there's many more. I understand this. This is only scratching the surface. But I've got seven things jotted down here, and I got this outline. Brother Henry preached it at Dingus somewhere in the early 80s. And I was going through some papers a few weeks ago, the notes I'd scratched down, and I run across this outline. And I said, if Henry preached it, it has to be the truth. So that's what we're going to try to look at. Seven good things to come as the result of the sin atoning sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he accomplish when he came here, took upon himself flesh, lived in this world for, men says, 33 years, and then suffered the wrath that do you and I, finally gave up the ghost hanging on the tree, and ascended back unto the heavens and sat down at the right hand of God? What did he accomplish? What did he accomplish for you and I, who by the grace of God look to him by faith? What did he accomplish? The first thing. He accomplished full pardon of sin. Your sin and my sin, if we look to Christ, is put away. It is put away. It can never be surfaced again. God will not bring them back up again against us. He said, I have redeemed thee. I have saved thee. Thy sins and thy iniquities will I remember no more. So they're gone. They are gone. We read in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. It said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ, according to the good pleasure of his will. Why did he do that? Because it pleased him to do it. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. You and I, who look to Christ by faith, the gift of God. Now, it's not something we've done. It's not something we've conjured up. It's not something that we've produced. Faith is the gift of God. He gives it to whomsoever he is pleased to do it. And we are simply recipients. We simply receive the blessing from God. We don't work for it. We don't have a merit to earn it ourselves. It's simply a free gift of God. And he gives it to whomsoever he will. And we receive it with joy and gladness. Oh, I believe. The Lord has caused me to believe. What a blessing. What a blessing. And in believing, trusting, looking to the sin sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ, my sins are put away. They are gone. The writer of the book of Hebrews uses the word of forgiveness of sin, a full pardon of sin. We obtain through his blood. When his blood was shed, he shed on my behalf, and my sins were washed away. That's just as simple as you can make it. There's no big drawn out outlines of these things. How are your sins put away? They are put away by the blood of Christ. He put them away. And he made an atonement for our sins. He paid for it. And we have forgiveness of sin in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this is not the only benefit that we have. As I said, I have seven things jotted down here. But this is probably the most important thing. One of the most important things. All these things are important, but this thing, sin must be dealt with. Sin must be punished. The justice of God demands sin to be punished. And punished it must be. The soul that sinneth, it must surely die. And he died. When he was made sin for his people, the wrath of God came to where the sin was. And it consumed him to the point he said, My sins and my iniquity has carried me away. They have brought me low down to the dust. And I give up the ghost. I give up the ghost. That's what it took to save one sinner. That's what it took, that God demanded perfection. And he, through his sacrificial sin atoning death, gave me peace and reconciliation. My sins are gone. The only way to escape this judgment is through the sin atoning death of Christ. I can't work enough to put away one sin. I've heard men say around our community that God forgave their sins up to the time that they believed. And then they had to stand good for their sins. They say that we're saved by grace, but we're judged by works. If we are, we're goners. We're hell-bent sinners deserving the wrath of God. We have no work to do. We can do no good work. We can do nothing to appease God. So someone must take our place. And that's what he did. By his sin-atoning sacrifice, he took my place. And oh, he gave me his righteousness. What a turnabout here. Me who was on the way to condemnation. He said, come out from among them and be ye a separated people, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people. And he sends the gospel to his people, and he calls them, come out. Come out from among them. Come out from among the world. Come out from among the dead and live in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him, by him, through him, I have pardon from sin. The original sin, that sin which I was born with, actual sins, that sin that I actually committed myself, past sins that I don't even remember, present sins that I don't even see and not yet committed, and sins to come. Oh, in His blood, through His blood, and by His blood, they're gone. They are gone. The second good thing we experience, we receive, we lay hold of through the sacrificial sin atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have this thing of eternal redemption. Good things to come. Oh, I've not experienced eternal redemption yet. I hear about it. I believe it's so, but have I experienced it yet? I believe I'm experiencing part of it now, but there's still part to come for me to experience. Now, the price is paid. Redemption is accomplished. Satisfaction is made. But we come into it and we don't experience all these things at one time. We don't know what eternal means because we've never experienced eternal. We don't know what everlasting is because we're flesh. We cannot experience it as we are now. But we have eternal redemption. He says, I have redeemed thee. And you're mine. You're mine. We read in Titus chapter 2. Verse 11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. That's Christ. He's the grace of God that brings salvation. Teaching us, this is what the gospel teaches us, and this is what we attempt to preach to men and women. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly. You say, well, if you preach grace and you tell men that their sins is forgiven, then that just gives them a license to go out and sin. No, it don't. It might do the ungodly that, but for the child of God that has this new nature put within them, this new heart put within them, their desire is toward the things of God. Teaching us. Denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. That's how we ought to live right now. And that's the way the Spirit desires to live. But oh, this flesh, it desires to go back to the dust of the flesh. It desires the things of the flesh. It desires the things of the world. But looking, Titus chapter 2, verse 13. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto Himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. Zealous of the things of the Spirit. Zealous of the worship of our God. Zealous of the love of God. These are the good works that we have. He works within us to perform them. We believe. That's a good work. But how do we do that? We do it by the grace of God. It's not something we do within ourselves. We do it because the Spirit of God within us desires to be like Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from all iniquities. Every one of our sin and our iniquities are gone. This thing of sin brings us into bondage. Men talk about, oh, I'm a free moral agent. I can do this and I can do that. You're bound by sin. You're in bondage to sin. You're in slavery to sin. But redemption, whoa, redemption is the deliverance from it. This thing has come out from among them. I have redeemed thee. Sin binds guilt upon the sinner. The soul that sinneth, it shall surely die. That's what the law says. And it binds us in guilt and condemnation. And it lays us under obligation to this thing of punishment. The soul that sinneth must be punished. This, God cannot just wash away sin by a swipe of His sovereign grace. Sin must be paid for. And it renders us, this thing of sin renders us liable to the curse and condemnation of the law. Men say, just give me the Ten Commandments. You don't want anything to do with the Ten Commandments. You can't keep one of them, much less ten. You don't want to be bound under this thing of the law. Don't you hear what it says? Cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. Every aspect of the law. It must be completely satisfied. And that's what Christ did. He said, I finished the work thou gave me to do. And Christ was made sin and a curse for His people. He that was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners, took upon Himself flesh and came. And I don't understand all this thing about what it is for Him to be made sin. I just don't understand that. My mind just can't comprehend it. But the Scripture says He was made sin. That's what we have to believe. He was made sin. And as He was made sin, I was made the righteousness of God in Him. To the full point that He was made sin, I am made righteous in Him. Again, I don't understand this. And I sure can't explain it to you. But the Scriptures tells us the facts of the matter. He was made sin that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. We'll leave it right there. By Him bearing my guilt, bearing my shame in His body on the tree, He redeemed me from all my iniquity, that it should not ruin me. There is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the life of Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. This is what it is to believe the gospel. To lay hold of these things by faith that the Lord gives us. And to rest in them. To rest in them. The old song says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And that's all we have. That's all the hope that we have. That Jesus was made sin for me. And I was made the righteousness of God in Him. The third good thing to come unto His people as a result of His sin-atoning sacrifice. We have complete justification. Not part justified, not want to be justified, might hope to be justified. We are justified. We are justified by the work that He performed, the life that He lived, and the death that He died. Through this, we are justified. We stand before God justified. Listen to what Romans chapter 4 and verse 25 says. Who was delivered for our offenses, that's Christ, and raised again, that's Christ, for our justification. He did this to justify a people before the holy God of heaven. As a result of His sin-atoning death, our Lord Jesus Christ, who were sinners by nature, sinners by practice, sinners by choice, are completely justified before God. Now, how can that be? How can that possibly be? It hangs on and hinges about who Christ is and what He's done. Who He is, He's God in human flesh. Who can justify but God? Nobody can justify but God. Who can raise up? Who can give life except God? Somebody said it last night. He's the giver of life. In Him is life. Because He was delivered for my sin. He was bruised for my iniquity. And He suffered in my place instead. And He says, you're justified. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. And you and I who looks to Christ by faith, we sit down with Him. We sit down with Him. I'm not there yet in this person. But in the mind and purpose of God, as God sees things, I'm there. Seated. In Christ and with Christ. And this took place before the foundation of the world. This is not something that just was established when I made a profession. When God said, I will have a people. And the Father and the Son entered into this covenant. They shook hands, if you will. And Christ said, I will redeem them. I will justify them. I will present them unto thee, a holy people. And the Father accepted. Lord, when all that He did, the life that He lived here for 33 years, this torment that He went through for hours and hours. And when He hung there on the cross, He said, it's finished. It's finished. The work of redemption is complete. I have justified a people in the eyes of God. And we stand before God, accepted in the beloved. God looks upon me and He says, you're justified. How can that be? Knowing something of who I am and what I am. How can that be? Only in the person of Christ. Only in His shed blood and His righteousness can I be justified. And He sees me washed in the blood of Christ, His only begotten Son. And He says, loose Him. Loose Him and let Him go. He that a Son is made free is free indeed. Loose Him. The next thing, the fourth thing, of the good things to come as a result of a sin atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have a perfect sanctification. You and I are sanctified. We are holy. You say, well, you can't talk that way. That's the way the Scriptures talks. That's what the Scriptures declares unto us. Be ye holy, for I am holy. And in Christ I'm holy. In myself, no. In this flesh, no. But in Christ, I am as holy as God's dear Son. You say, well, that's blasphemy. No, that's what the Scripture teaches us. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 10. By the which will, whose will? God's will. We are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. Now what's that mean? It means exactly what it says. You and I who looks to Christ by faith, the gift of God, we are sanctified, declared to be holy, set apart for the worship of God through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every high priest standing daily, ministering and offering time the same sacrifice, which can never take away sin. But this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, after he had offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down on the right hand of God. From that time forth, from henceforth, waiting, expecting, until his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. By the offering of himself upon the tree, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, made one sacrifice. Under the law, they had to have a sacrifice of the morning, sacrifice of the evening for hundreds of years. But this man, showing the sufficiency of his sacrifice, showing the power of his sacrifice, this man offered one sacrifice, and it was sufficient. It was sufficient for the sins of all his people of all times. Men hold, oh, he died for everybody. No, he didn't. He died for a particular people that was reserved before the foundation of the world. A seal was put on them that they are my people, and I will be their God. And in time, the Lord Jesus Christ came and secured them. He paid the debt. Whoever wrote the song, Jesus Paid It All, knew something about the gospel, I believe. Oh, that my sins were as scarlet. He washed them white as snow. He had laid the foundation of eternal perfection by his offering. For it was such a character that it secured it. The foundation is laid and the sacrifice is made and all is well with God. And he set us apart. Boy, he set us apart for the worship of our God. That's what sanctified means. In the sanctuary, everything had to be sanctified. It was going to come into the presence of God. It was going to come and be used in the worship of God. And so it is with you and I. We must be sanctified. We must be set apart. We must be made holy in order that we might worship our God in spirit and in truth. The next thing, let me hurry. The fifth good thing that comes to you and I as a result of the sin atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ, we have peace and reconciliation. Romans 5, verse 6. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commended his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Here's our peace and our reconciliation. It stands here in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a result of his sin-atoning death, you and I who were enemies of God, enemies with God, are now made one with God. How can that be? How can that be? Only in the person and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. He, by his atonement, produces peace and reconciliation between those who are aliens from each other. Now, God had not changed, but man had failed. Man had failed. And his sins had separated him from his God. And if there was ever to be reconciled back together again, It must be through a mediator. It must be through an atonement that only one man can offer, and that is God Himself in human flesh. And it pleased the Father to make His soul an offering for sin. And you and I, who look to Christ by faith, receive the smiling face of God. We don't see, as men paint this picture, the frown upon God's face. Oh no! We don't see anything but the smiling face of God that declares unto us, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. It's not what I do or what I've not done. It's the blood of Christ that cleanses our soul. Oh, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Number 6. The 6th good thing that comes to His people as a result of the sin-atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have eternal salvation. Not salvation we're hoping for. Not salvation that might be a maybe. We have it. We have it. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 8. Though He were a son, yet learned He obedience by the things which He suffered. And being made perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey Him. Him being a complete Savior, a Savior fit in all respects to redeem men, by His sacrifice, He became the author of eternal salvation. It was resolved upon from eternity. What God doeth, it is forever. God don't do these things in steps, as you and I do. We lay a foundation. We put wood upon that foundation. We do this, we do that. We do it in steps. But God done this in one act. In one act, He said, I will have a people, and they shall be My people, and I will be their God. And then He worked out everything that it took. Whatever it took for me to be redeemed, the Son of God came and did it. And it was secured. Oh, it was secured in an everlasting covenant. The Son of God being the mediator of a new testament, a new covenant between God and men. And He finished that which God gave Him to do. And God smiled upon him and said, come, sit down on My right hand until I make your enemies your footstools. The 7th thing, real quick. We have full pardon of sin. We have eternal redemption. We have complete justification. We have a perfect sanctification. We have peace and reconciliation. We have eternal salvation. Could it be anything else? Yes, they are. There's many, many more things. One old writer said, He loadeth us daily with benefits. These are the benefits that He loadeth us daily with. The last thing, we'll quit. We have all the blessings of heaven's glory. Can you imagine that? We read in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. For whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. And that's what He's doing. That's what He's doing. He's conforming us to the image of His Son. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. Have you and I entered into glory yet? No. But we will. We will. For I reckon that, Paul said, I believe it's Paul said, I reckon that the suffering of this present world is not worthy to be compared to the glory that shall be revealed in us. There's glory that's going to be revealed in us and to us. Listen to what Paul said in Ephesians. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. That's what He's doing. That's what He's doing right now. You and I have not entered into glory yet, but we will. We will. Listen to what He says in John chapter 17. Turn with me there, if you will. John chapter 17 and verse 22. Here is the blessing. Here is the blessing that you and I have. Let me find my place here. John chapter 17, verse 22. The glory and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. I have given them that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them. God loves me as He loves His own Son. Can you imagine that? That's what the Scripture said. That thou hast sent me and has loved them as thou hast loved me. This is the blessing that you and I will experience later. We get a taste of them here. We get a smiling face. We hear the gospel preached, it rejoicing in our hearts. But oh, the glory that shall be revealed in us when we shall see Him face to face, when we shall behold Him in righteousness. We're not going to look here and say, oh, look at my glory. Oh, no. Our focus is going to be on Him. Our eyes are going to be set on Him. And our minds and our thoughts is going to be consumed with who He is and what He did for us. These are the blessings. These are the good things to come as a result of the sin atoning death of our Lord Jesus Christ. I pray God bless His word.
Very often, I say that the best compliment that you can give a preacher is, I understood everything that you said. Our Lord's blessed Roland with great plainness of speech, hadn't He? Roland has such a blessing. Oh, I thank you. If the Lord tarries another 40 years, some man's going to get up and say, back in the early 2020s, I heard Roland Browning preach this message. And I jotted down the outline. I'm going to give it to you. That was so good, Roland. Thank you. And we're going to take about a 15-minute break, and when you hear the music, come back and find your seat, and Pastor Todd Niebuhr is going to bring a message for us.